Good to see everybody. So we had our Bible study this morning at 9:15. We've had some worship time where we got to sing some praises and thankfulness to Him for everything He's doing for us. Now we're going to get into the Word so we can have our minds changed more into that covenant with the Lord so we can be more like Him. And so it's good to get in the Word again. And so, Father, right now, Lord, we just come to You and we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord. It is a light, Lord. You are the light, and Your Word is a light in our life, Lord. And it brings life into us. So, Lord, let this word sink down into us, Lord, like it does, like Your seed into the soil, Lord. And let it take root. Let us be that good soil, Lord. And let that root take hold, Lord, and produce a harvest for You. Let us be reflective of You in our lives. And attract more people to You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 3, 1 and 2. I was in Mark. Now I'm in Matthew. It's like, this doesn't look like it. John the Baptist prepares the way. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about... Went over a little. Well, but praise God. Amen.
We should be excited about the Word of God. Amen. As we look at John the Baptist, he's preparing for the ministry to make the way for the way of Jesus. And he's going into the wilderness. We need to go to that quiet place or to that wilderness. And when you think of a wilderness, I think of trees and all kinds of things going on. Some people think this is a desert. It's not. The Jordan River ran through there. And any time a river goes through, you've got vegetation. There were at least six cities in this area. There were also a bunch of small like farming communities or whatever scattered about. So it wasn't a desolate area. Sometimes we need to go to a quiet place in the wilderness just to quiet our busy minds. Our minds are always working. Even when we go sometimes into prayer or we're thinking about what we got to do or where we got to go and what we got to do, especially as we get older. Because sometimes we forget. I waste a lot of steps going out into the garage, forgetting what I went out there for, and then have to go back in the house, and then remember and go back again. But the whole point is, John had to go out somewhere to be prepared for what God wanted him to do. And it's the same with us. We are to go to listen to that still voice, that small voice that's going to tell us what he wants from you next. And it's spending time with him. Quality time in prayer. John, I'm sure, when he was out there, he spent a lot of time in prayer. A lot of time talking to God. And a lot of times listening. We want to talk a lot, but we don't want to listen so much. It's hard for us to have that quiet time with the Lord. With so many things going on. And it's hard to just listen, and pay attention and be still. But also, he was getting told that you got to go tell these people to repent. Repent. What's it mean? It means changing the way you think. True repentance is changing the way you think about everything. And it has to be about all focused on Jesus Christ. It has to be. whatever we do, the Holy Spirit is going to discern this for us. I spent a lot of time on these two verses and thinking about what all God was trying to tell me. And it's to be still. Go into a secluded place. Go into the wilderness somewhere so that you have time to think about what God wants you to do next. He's always preparing us for a ministry. But some of us are too busy to listen. Our minds are always going about what we think. It's not about what we think. It's about what Jesus wants for you to do. And every one of us should have a ministry. Every one of you that are calling yourself a Christian, it's not to just keep it to yourself. It's to go tell people about what Christ has done in you and what He can do in someone else. But you need to spend time. Wilderness represents, if you look at Israel, they spent 40 years in the desert wandering around. And if you look at Moses, he had to go up to God in a quiet place to listen. And when God spoke to try to spoke to all of them, what did they say? Oh, you go up and do it. We don't want to hear it. How many of us are the same way?
I never thought about it like that.
Well, yeah, God spoke and they said, they were so terrified. But Jesus speaks to us using the Holy Spirit in a different way. It's never in the way that we can't understand. It's a point that we don't want to listen. And we don't want to do what He's called us to do. So, it's kind of interesting. How many of us have a still place or go into your prayer closet just to pray? And are you giving Him all your attention when you go in there? We can pray anywhere, but sometimes we need to be still and listen. We need to be quiet. And John was out there and God said, okay, now I want you to go and I want you to tell these people they need to repent. There's two types of repentance that's talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And the first one is a worldly repentance. And it's kind of what we're taught from when we're young. Right? Oh, you do something to your brother or sister. Oh, you get caught. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're not sorry. You're just sorry you got caught. I don't think there's even any guilt. You're just doing it so you don't get a whipping or something. Your mom or dad said, go tell them you're sorry. But there's another type of repentance that leads to eternal life. And that's true but repentance of the heart. And what's it mean? It means that you're sorry that you ever did it and you're never going to try to the best of your ability to do it again. Whatever that is. But we need to be still. We need to go into those quiet places. We need to quiet our busy minds. There's a song about that. Quieting your busy mind. And find a hiding place. Mark's getting ready to go to the Sierras. I love it up there. What's the biggest distraction you got? It's probably that cell phone you got. A cell phone's the biggest distraction that the devil uses against us to have that quiet time with the Lord. In that stillness. So, most of the time mine's on no ringing. Unless I see it, I don't pay no attention to it. And half the time I don't pay no attention. I'll get back to them when I get back to them. If I'm studying the Word of God, if I'm in that quiet time. But it's very important. Otherwise, how are you going to listen to God? How are you going to hear what Jesus wants you to do next? He tells us over and over, but we have to meditate on the Word of God. What's that mean? To chew on it. Chew on it. We need to be like a cow. Chew on it, kind of spit it up, and chew on it again. Get it into you. Let's look at some verses. Look at Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. That's all I'm going to go in there. But be still. It's hard in this day and age for people to sit still. You know, a lot of kids got attention deficit disorder or whatever. They're hyperactive or whatever. My mom had a cure for that. It was called a switch. Sit down and pay attention or else you're going to get it. Guess what? I sat down and paid attention. Most of the time. But the worst punishment I think I ever got, and I've told it many times, was go to your room and think about it. Oh, man, I hated that. Give me a licking and let me keep on ticking. But that going to your room and thinking about it, I'm thinking about your mind, it's not being still. It's going a million miles an hour thinking about what's coming next. So I bet nobody else in here has been like that, but that's okay. You did? Oh, I didn't mind going to the room, but it was my mind thinking, being busy thinking about what's coming next. Because I knew there was something coming. And the judge was coming. Just like we need to be careful because the judge is coming one day and we're going to stand before him. And we're going to have to give an account for what we did do and what we didn't do. And I don't want to give a... Okay. Be still. Joshua 1, 7 and 8. We have to be chewing on the Word of God in that stillness too. I'll start in 6. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to your ancestors I would give them. Be strong and courageous about sharing the Word of God. How about that one? We need to be strong and courageous to go out and to do it. A lot of people do. Number 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. You have to spend quiet time with the Lord and you have to listen to the Holy Spirit about what He's telling you to do. He's give you instructions. You need to meditate on them. What's it mean? Really get into it and spend that quiet time. Like I say, you go into the upper eastern Sierras, that cell phone don't work, and that didn't bother me at all. That's when you can be really still and quiet. Get up early in the morning, nothing, so everything's quiet and going on. Except for the first day, 2 days we were up there, wind was blowing so hard it was just whipping up dust everywhere. But there's still something God was telling me. Hey, here's some of my power. You want some of it? Here it is. Now be still. You have that chance wherever your quiet place is, wherever your wilderness would be. You have to decide to quiet your busy mind and find that hiding place. Get away from that cell phone. Get away from everything that's going to be a distraction for you to not listen and meditate on what God's trying to tell you to do. He's always wanting us to do more. He's expecting us to do more. And a lot of it is sharing with others that don't know. A lot of it. We should be ready. Once He tells you to go, what's the only thing you can do? And it's a military command. It's just like, when you got marching orders, what'd you do? Hey, you didn't just go. You go! You went! Right? That's right! Hey, Jack used to, Al could probably do it. I can't give that old Marine Corps, hoorah, or whatever it is. Jack used to do it and shake the walls in here, even though they're all blocked. But there's one kid, Kurt Batts, and we were picking him up from parole, and Jack went out and gave him the yell of Batts, and it scared this guy so bad, he was like this. And anyway, but the Holy Spirit doesn't talk to us that way. That's why we need to be in a still, quiet place, to listen, to pay attention. You know, it says, a harsh word, what? Stirs up anger. But a soft word displaces it. And that's how God talks to us, in that soft voice. And that's why we have to be still, or we've got to go into a place where we're able to listen and away from all the distractions. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Oh, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. You have to meditate on God's word. You have to have time for that quiet time for Him to talk to you. You have to have a quiet time for prayer. You need that to just keep you growing, to keep you maturing along the road of sanctification. That's important. If you're not growing, you're like, you know, you become like stagnant water. You're just there. And after a while, it gets nasty. Why? Because you take on the things of the world outside those doors instead of the quiet time that what the Lord wants you to do. Luke 5:15-16. We're going to see Jesus even took that time. It's about where he heals this part up here. Jesus heals a man with leprosy. Okay, let's look at all of it. I'll start in verse 12. In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. When the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. Lord, he said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus instructed him not to tell anyone. Okay, there's going to be stuff that Jesus is going to tell you that you're not to share with anybody else. There's certain things that he's going to tell you in those quiet places. Okay, this is what I want you to do, but don't go getting all puffed up about it. Don't go be telling everybody. Not to tell anyone what had happened. He said, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer, to a quiet time for him and his Father. We need to do the same. He is our example. Is that true? Shouldn't we be doing the things that he did? In everything we say and everything we do. Luke 13:1-5. finish with this one. That might be the wrong one. I don't think that's what I wanted. That's not the verse. Somewhere I got the wrong one. Anyway, I'm going to skip that one. Somewhere or another, I gave Jeff the wrong one, or I got the wrong one. Lord, forgive me. But I think the whole point of John in the wilderness, John was the son of Zechariah, who was a priest. So you think he grew up in that environment? Absolutely. And his mother and Mary were, I think they were cousins, I think. Anyway, the whole point is we need to be still a lot of times, and we need to quiet our busy minds. And whatever that means, maybe it's getting away by yourself and listening to what the Holy Spirit wants from you next. And it's about repentance. And like I say, Corinthians talks about two types of repentance. One leads to death. The other leads to eternal life. So true repentance is changing the way you think about everything. About everything. And it has to, your focus has to be on Jesus Christ and the power that the Holy Spirit gives us to discern this word. He also gives us the power to go to Him. But if you're not going to Him and quieting down your busy mind, you're thinking, if you're not devoting your whole mind to Him when you're praying, what good is it? You're thinking about other things. The book of Oswald Chambers on this day gave a devotional, and I'm going to read it before we quit. Prayer, battle in the secret place. And it's Matthew 6:6. When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Jesus did not say, dream about your Father who is in the secret place, but He said, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Prayer is an effort of the will. Excuse me. After we have entered our secret place and shut the door, the most difficult thing to do is to pray. We cannot seem to get our minds into good working order, and the first thing we have to fight is wandering thoughts. Wandering thoughts. Our mind's always working. The great battle in private prayer is overcoming this problem of our idle and wandering thinking. We have to learn to discipline our minds and concentrate willfully, deliberate prayer. Willful, deliberate prayer. We must have a specially selected place for prayer. But once we get there, this plague of wandering thoughts begins as we begin to think to ourselves, this needs to be done. And I have to do that today. Jesus says to shut your door. Have a secret stillness before God means deliberately shutting the door on our emotions and remembering Him. God is in secret, and He sees us from the secret place. He does not see us as other people do or as we see ourselves. When we truly live in the secret place, it becomes impossible for us to doubt God. We become more sure of Him than of anyone or anything else. Enter into the secret place, and you will find that God was right in the middle of your everyday circumstances all the time. Get into the habit of dealing with God about everything. Unless you learn to open the door of your life completely and let God in from your first waking moment of each day, you will be working on the wrong level throughout the day. But if you will swing the door of your life fully open and pray to your Father who is in the secret place, every public thing in your life will be marked with the lasting imprint of the presence of God. But we have to go into those secret places. We have to go into the wilderness. That's what it takes. If you can't find a still place in your house, some place where you can shut the door and be alone, you need to go out somewhere. Sneak off up into the mountain somewhere and look around and be still. And just, that's when you can truly talk to God. But so many people today, we're so busy. And we're busy with this or that. And we're not busy about what God's wanting us to do. And the Bible tells us what we're to do. It goes through and it tells us, you're to do this, this, and this. Feed the hungry, right? That's one of our obligations. Visit the widows and orphans. That's another thing we're to do. To give clothes to the needy. It spells out all this stuff that we should be doing. And how do we do? You have to ask yourself. You have to be... How many times are you sharing the good news with somebody? How many times a day are you sharing? How many opportunities do you miss a day because you haven't been still and listened to what God wants you to do and who He wants you to talk to? Well, and you're not strong and courageous by the will of God, with God's strength, not our own. Not our own. You don't rely on your own understanding. That's not about our understanding. It's about what God's understanding is for you. And it's different for each and every one of you, maybe. But you're still, there are certain things that we're all called to do. And we're called to be servants. Not to serve ourselves, but to serve others. That's what Jesus said. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And like... talked in that scripture, he washed them feet of the disciples. And Peter said, "You ain't washed my feet." And he says, "If I don't wash your feet," he says, "well, then wash me all over." So, but we have to be still and listen. And then we have to be strong and courageous to go out and do what he's called you to do. So as you go through this week, think about these things. Think about spending that quiet time and the busy mind, quiet it down before you ever go in there. Because there's always something we have to do, but not in the quiet place. Quiet your mind. Okay, let's pray. I'll tell a story on Willie Ruff since he's here. Willie Ruff was a guy that was going to come to the program when we had the program for lifers. You were on a 1 yard? A 4 yard. Somebody coming out of prison off a 4 yard is almost unheard of because that's the highest level that they have. It's the most secured yard. And Willie, he wrote us and we said, "Yeah, we got a bed for you. Come on, come on." So I don't know, it was about a week before you get an out, a few days. Yeah. And he wrote us back and he says, sounds too much like a military thing here. I don't think I'm going to come here. So, about a week went by, and the counselor calls us, or I think it was a counselor. She called, and she says, "You still have a bed for Willie Ruff?" And we said, "Yeah, we got a bed, but he wrote a letter. He don't want to come here no more." She said, "Okay, I'll take care of this." So she went and talked to Willie, and she called back, and she said, "Willie's had a change of mind. He's coming." She must have told him, "You don't go there, you ain't getting out." As pro board. You weren't. Okay, so hey, whatever it was. She said, "Willie had a change of mind. He coming." And he got here. He loved it. He's a... What do you do, Willie? You're a paralegal. And he had his own little place over there. He could have his computer and he could do his work. And nobody bothered Willie. Willie? Willie was an example, and he's still coming to church. And he was down 48 years, how? 33 years.
Long time.
So we got, you know, Willie comes, Noel comes, he was in our program, Albert was in our program, Jack was in our program, but, and Kenny. I almost forget about Kenny, but I don't, I'm sorry, Kenny. But so many guys that were in it, and they would, so many of them, they know a con when it's happening. And they would watch Jack and I to see if we were men of what we said we were. And once they looked and found out, then things changed. And not by us, by the Jesus Christ that's working through us. And you have to walk what you talk. If you don't, it's useless. So anyway, as you go through, think about the stillness in the quiet place. He probably didn't have much quiet on that foreyard. But he got here, Willie got a quiet place. Over in one trailer, he kind of had that west east trailer all by himself. They all had chores, and they had to get up at a certain time. And that's just teaching them disciplines about dealing within the world. Most of them get out, you take them out to eat, they couldn't even look at a menu. I don't know. You know, everything been given to them, and they didn't have a choice. And most of them were so nervous. Let me tell you, they get about 5 minutes to eat their food. Most of them, I'd be getting to put a little salt and pepper on mine and get ready to eat, and they'd already be done. I'm thinking, that ain't quiet. That ain't letting your food digest. Slow down. And we need to slow down and quiet our minds sometimes and listen to what God wants you to do. Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the quiet time you give me. And I thank you that you are the God of forgiveness. When we get busy and we do the things that just don't let us have that quiet time. We get distracted with thoughts. We let our mind wander. Help us to be still and to be courageous in whatever you want us to do, and to listen and to pay attention. Again, we pray for all the ones that are sick. There's so many. Eileen, and I pray for her all the time. I pray for Iva, and I pray for so many that are going through. I pray mostly for the lost, and I pray for us to have opportunities to share. And don't miss those opportunities. We miss so many probably every day of sharing the good news. And shame on us. Shame on us. That not being prepared to tell others what Jesus has done for us. You know, that's that song by the young gal, "Let me tell you about my Jesus." So anyway, as you go through this week, think about spending that quiet time with the Lord, wherever it may be. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Okay. Prayer. James 5:13. We're going to have an altar call first.
Yeah.
Huh? Are we playing right now? Yeah. No. You're going. But I haven't got to the altar call yet. Kenny, hey, quiet your busy mind, Kenny. quiet. I know.
He's new.
James 5:13-18 basically says, if any of you are experiencing hardships, I'm telling you, you live in the state of California sometimes, there are some hardships, but I love it. I it's where God's called me. And anyway, are any of you sick? Come and have the elders anoint you with oil. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. And it says, by their faith, you will be healed. So won't you come? Yeah. Hey.
sea was a struggle. On it I go to live in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. At this prisoner, say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. Name my voice of my shame and I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I'll lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same, and I hope that will carry me on. You set me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain, and I'm not who I used to be. I am. Set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Wipe away every stain. I'm who I used to be.
I am redeemed.
You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. Wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Thank God, redeemed.
Thank God I'm redeemed. Amen. Go with God. Another day the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Rejoice in what the Lord's got you to do today.
We worship you.
worship you. You are here, working in this place. We worship you. We worship you. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
You are here,
touching every heart. We worship you. We worship you. I hear healing every life. We worship you.
You are here,
turning lives around. We worship you. We worship you.
You are here,
mending every heart. We worship you. We worship you.
You are
waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
That is
who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
You are
waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
You are
waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.